what do you, or what do we need to do to please God? This interactive question here.
Love.
Faith. Obedience.
Belief.
Obey.
Share.
Trust.
Love.
Very much.
You guys got some good answers.
2 cents?
You and Don.
Don, you just got a nickname. Don 2 cents. 2 cent Don.
Yeah, here you go.
He said it in Spanish. He said it in Spanish. It sounds better. 1, 2 centavos.
You know, so the question is, are you? Are you? And that's, you know, not just the, I guess, testing you, but rather just, a challenge, all of us. Are we doing the things that please God? I think that there are many different answers to that question, and I can tell you guys are ruined because in most places, they would say, well, you got to do this and this and this and this and this. And they have all kinds of little rules and things that you're supposed to follow and do if you're going to please God. So I think you guys are really embodying the heart of Jesus. You know, it's the spiritual things. It's the faith things. So if you'll turn in your scriptures to John, chapter 14.
Oh, and Don. Sorry. Don up here, closest to the
yeah, morning, Don.
Morning, Don. Dancing, Don.
Yeah. Sinat. The one you were reading out of last week, is Latin for Ecclesiasticus. Just FYI, I meant to show you that last week, but I forgot.
We've been going through a series of teaching about Jesus is the point. Jesus is the point. We can get so carried away with so many other things and lose sight of the main thing. And that's that Jesus is the point. He's the reason that we gather here. Are you there, John 14?
Hey,
verse 15. This is during a prayer that Jesus was praying before he was crucified. Verse 15 says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. So I'm very intrigued that nobody in here said, well, but please God, I got to keep all of his commandments. You know, you guys are sharp. And then move down to verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and disclose myself to him. If you want to get to know Jesus better, here's the formula. If you want to get to know God better, here's the formula. You know, keep Jesus' commands. Move down to chapter 15, verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. This is interesting. Jesus kept his Father's commandments. What? You know, Jesus keeps saying, if you keep my commands, if you have my command, what commands is he talking about? Is he talking about the Ten Commandments?
Good start.
Love one another.
No, I got it.
Well, here's what here's an overall summary of what we're talking about here. The law of Christ. The new law of Christ is the divine love implanted in the renewed heart by the Holy Spirit, which flows out in the energy of the Spirit, unforced and spontaneous, toward the objects of the divine love. It is therefore the law of liberty, in contrast with the external law of Moses. Moses' law demands love. Christ's law is love, and so takes the place of the external law by fulfilling it.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, if anything, it would be the fruit of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Well, that should be the output of us obeying Christ's law. And without the Spirit, as this statement makes, we cannot do it. We cannot obey Christ's commands, his law, without having the divine love implanted in us. You cannot give something you don't have. Well, let's break this down a little bit. That's a lot of information in one short paragraph. Turn with me to Romans. You're in John now. Turn to the right a couple books. Romans 5. We're going to hit a lot of different verses today in different books. So if you need to, just have your finger where the table of contents is and you can quickly find some page numbers. Romans 5. Okay, so the first sentence we said, the new law of Christ is the divine love implanted in the renewed heart by the Holy Spirit. If we look at Romans 5, 1 through 5, this is where we see that come from. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in the hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations. Who's exulting today? You guys just don't have enough tribulations. We exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. And perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So you see how that works? Love of God is poured into us. The Holy Spirit implanted in us. And the only way that can happen is if our heart's been renewed. The Holy Spirit is what transforms our heart from a heart of stone into a heart of flesh. One that can repent. One that can agree with God that, wow, yeah, I've sinned. I see it now. The next sentence says, which flows out in the energy of the Spirit, unforced and spontaneous, toward the objects of the divine love. So there's a target. And other people are these objects. Other people are the divine targets. So, if you're in Romans, turn to the right another couple books, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians 5, we'll begin with verse 14. Are you there?
Amen.
Amen.
For the love of Christ controls us. Wow, the love of Christ controls us. It should.
Oh.
I'm praying that it is.
Friday, we had a client that the guys had worked there on Thursday, and the client was talking to me on the phone, and he was telling me a bunch of stuff. John was sitting there, the client, with me on speakerphone, but the client didn't know that John was there. The client was lying to me about what took place. And John, Outlaw John, my brother-in-law, was furious and just left the office. And he was so mad, and we had to go back. He had to go back out there and deal with working for him again, you know. And for the love of Christ, he controls us. And I met with John and Bob, and both have different temperatures regarding where they're at in their life with loving God. And said, look, here's the deal. This is when the rubber meets the road. Going back out there and do you guys doing the right thing, no matter what, and let him do whatever stupid thing he's going to do. You have to do the right things and have to do it with the right attitude. And may God bless you. And they went out and did it. But this is where the love of God controls us. It's supposed to control us. And we get chances to practice that. It's not easy.
Amen. Amen.
So he continues on. We're in verse 14. Having concluded this, in other words, we come to understand and arrive at this conclusion that the love of Christ controls us, that one died for all, and therefore all dies. In other words, Christ died for the world, but therefore all died. In other words, when we die to self and we crucify our inner man and our flesh, and this is kind of what we do when we're baptized in the water. And he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. What are we living for? What is a purpose in our life? Who do we belong to and why? It's Jesus. Jesus is the point. He died and was raised again for us. 16. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. In other words, he already resurrected and ascended back to heaven. 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. We're all in ministry. We're all ministers. We have the ministry of reconciliation. So every one of us needs to be involved in that. And God will give you opportunities.
Yes, sir.
Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting the trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. So you're ministers and you're ambassadors. You're ambassadors for Christ. As though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So, to repeat, this activity of being an ambassador, of being in the ministry of reconciliation, it flows out, spontaneous, unrehearsed, because it's love flowing out towards others. It's not the reverse. It's not, I got it all, I've been saved, you know, everything's for me. Totally opposite. And that's what's crazy about Christianity. We then begin to live for others. Our life belongs to someone else. You know, it's not about self-help and getting everything for ourselves. It's about for others. Continuing on in this paragraph. It is therefore the law of liberty, in contrast with the external law of Moses. When we say the external law of Moses, do you understand what we mean? The external law of Moses, remember Moses went up on the mountain and he came back with the law? And it was, you know, religious, it was ceremonial, and the commandments. So there's a lot written down in the Old Testament of this law that contained the law. It was the way that God wanted his people to live. And he laid out the penalties if you didn't live that way. That's the external law of Moses. So the law of Moses demanded love. In other words, if you didn't live that way, in so many ways, the punishment was death. It demanded love. Turn with me to James. So go back several books to your right, to James 1. By the way, this James here was the brother of Jesus. Grew up in the house with Jesus. Was not right away a believer, since his brother was God. It took him a little while to come to that understanding.
I'm reading James.
I'm reading James right now. I just think how weird it must have been.
Yeah. Well, think about those things we just read in John in 14 and 15. The way God, Jesus is talking. I mean, he has authority. He's talking as God. And imagine being James, having grown up with him. And then all of a sudden, he's, as an adult, he starts talking like this.
I don't know. Imagine growing up with a perfect brother.
What he's saying, come on, bro, just a little miracle. Come on, you can do it.
You always think you're right.
The brother who never sins. Yeah.
Mom loves you better.
Yeah. Are you there? James 1, verse 25.
God made you king.
The one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty. That's the perfect law. The complete law. The law of liberty. What? I thought the law was all about putting restrictions on us. The law of liberty. And abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer. This man will be blessed in what he does. So we live in the law of liberty. Isn't that a great thing? We Christians can live in liberty, not being bound by these external laws about what you can do, what you can't do, how you have to do it, and when you have to do it, and what happens if you don't do it. Move down to chapter 2, verse 12. So, speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. Ah, I knew there was a catch. We are going to be judged by that law of liberty. We're going to be judged by how we live. Did we love? Did we love others? Did we do for others? Or were we so focused on what we could get out of our goodness, our holiness, out of our wrong perception of obeying all of God's rules and how much better we are than those sinners out there? Here's the thing. Both covenants cannot exist side by side. In other words, the old covenant and the new covenant. They can't exist side by side. The old covenant, maybe one way to think of it is the Old Testament. Okay, that was about the law. It was, you must do this, and if you don't, here's what happens. Period. It does not give life. And the problem with that is none of us could do what was expected of us. In Leviticus and Ezekiel, in those verses up there, it says, keep the law and you will live. So if you did not keep the law, you would die. The punishment for messing up was death. So yet, here comes Christ, and we have this new covenant. And the Jews whose culture grew up in this old law, We're slow to catch on to this liberty, this freedom that Christ brought. This new covenant basically said that God had written the law in our hearts now, that we were to love Jesus and love others. We were to recognize that we could not become sin-free. We needed a Savior to recognize that Jesus paid for our sins. And once we do that, we're forgiven. And to those who really like to follow rules and follow the law, this seems too easy. It seems unfair. How could somebody get a free pass like this? This is just too easy. But this is the point of the new covenant, that God loves us, and he loves us so much he sent his son to do for us what we could not do. In Hebrews, it says this, "For if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion sought for a second." When he said a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. But whatever is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to disappear. So you see, there's a transition. The old covenant became obsolete, faded away, as the new covenant came in. It's a better covenant. The old covenant had a lot of regulations and ordinances and things. But the new covenant, you know what we've been saying? Is that it happens through a renewed heart. That we pour out the love that's put in us. You know, we heard trust, we heard love, we heard faith. So Jesus is the point. Jesus is the point. One more.
I think it's actually harder because we're fighting our humanness all the time. We're fighting the world all the time. I mean, before you could just have a checkoff list.
Yeah, but you never got it done. You never managed to check it all up. So we said that Moses' law demands love. What do we mean by that? Remember, I won't give you the answer yet. Turn with me to Leviticus. That's way back in the beginning. Genesis 6 was Leviticus 19. I think it's worthwhile to us look at these two Old Testament scriptures because I think a light's going to come on. Leviticus 19. Verse 18. So this whole book of Leviticus is the law. Leviticus 19:18. Are you there?
Yep.
"You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge." Oh, heaven help us. That'd be tough right there, wouldn't it? "Against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." Sound familiar? Love the neighbors yourself? I didn't know that was in the law. Turn to the right, to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, it says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." Did you realize that was in the law? Maybe you did. So, notice here it says, "You shall." It's a demand. You must, you shall. Now let's move ahead a few thousand years. When Jesus is carrying out his ministry, go back to Luke 10. Luke 10, verse 27. Actually, Actually, let's start with verse 25. There's always people wanting to challenge Jesus, you know. I can just imagine before they go up and talk to him, they're talking with their buddies, watch this, I got one, he'll never be able to answer. So this lawyer goes up, and he puts to Jesus a test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to earn eternal life, to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "What is it written in the law? How does it read to you?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You've answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." Ouch. So, it can be a little challenging. You know, for some, checklists are easier. You know, because we can hide behind that checklist. Nobody's can really see what's going on. But remember when Jesus appeared and they tried to trick him. What's the greatest commandment? Well, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. And he said, and there's a second like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You know, I don't think we realize that came from the law. It's fascinating. But Jesus, that's what he focuses on. That's what he wants out of us. He doesn't demand love. Christ's law is love. Christ's law is love. Turn to the right, almost to the end of the Bible, to 1 John. First John chapter 4. 1 John 4, verse 7. Are you there?
Amen.
Beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. So you see, if we're going to claim to know God, if we're going to claim to be reborn, to be born again, to be Christians, we must recognize this. That love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God. So if we're going to claim to be born again, we need to be seen as those who love others. We recognize that, people, don't we? We recognize when people are loving towards others or when they're not. Move down to verse 19. We love because he first loved us. We love because he first loved us. In other words, it didn't originate with us. We couldn't do it without him loving us first, demonstrating it to us. If someone says, "I love God and hates his brother," he's a big fat liar. So the one who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. Wow. So remember our opening question? You know, what does it take to please God? What should we be doing to please God?
Loving.
Exactly. You know, there are so many people saying and telling us what we have to do to be Christian. You know, we have to do this, we have to do that, we have to do the other thing. And pretty soon, you can get overwhelmed. So these are too many things. I don't do well with the really long checklist of work. But just make it simple. Start with loving others. Love God and love others. And work on that. And you will see God working in your life. You will see your life being transformed. Because you cannot love others if you don't get rid of yourself a little bit. Okay, let's finish up. This might be a little bit of a shocker. Turn back to Romans 13. Romans 13, verse 10. When we read the paragraph earlier, we finished it up. The last sentence said, and so takes the place of the external law by fulfilling it. Remember, Jesus said he came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And yet, as Christians, we grow up and we're continually being taught how to obey the law. If you don't obey the law, you're toast. But at the same time, we'll say, Jesus fulfilled the law. We're speaking out of both sides of our mouth. And then Romans 13, verse 10. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Just one little box you got to check. Love. That's the fulfillment of the law. That's what's going to be pleasing to God. Turn to your right to Galatians, maybe three books to your right. Galatians 5, verse 14. This will be our last verse. Galatians 5, verse 14. This might save you from having to read two or three of the books in the Old Testament. I don't know. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. In this statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The whole law is fulfilled in that one statement. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So you don't have to have a whole bunch of stuff memorized. You know, love God and love others. Work on that, doing that. You know, so the Ten Commandments were fulfilled by Jesus. We're now under the law of Christ, which is love. The Ten Commandments are a tutor. They show us what holiness looks like, what's expected, but we don't have to read very far to realize that nobody was able to keep them. And even we know. If we're going to be honest with ourselves, we cannot say that we keep the commandments outside of Christ. The only way we can keep them is having Christ's righteousness on. He fulfilled the law for us. So now we are ambassadors. We're ministers of reconciliation. We go out and love others. So that's what it is to be a Christian. That's what it is to be born again. And the world and even other Christians have that so mixed up. You know, what do we sing? We can do all these great and mighty and spiritual things. But if we have not love, we're bankrupt. So let us focus on trying to love others. Let us love God. Amen?
Amen.
All right, well, let's gather around and pray for one another.